Hi, this is Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. While this podcast is free for all of you, it actually costs our little nonprofit some significant resources to purchase rights for all this fabulous music. Please consider making a small gift to From the Top and keep us broadcasting loud and clear. Go to fromthetop.org and click on Support.
You know how music has the power to reach people at a deep emotional level? Well, today we'll meet a young violinist who shared her music with her severely autistic brother and watched him use a song to be able to express his emotions for the first time. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. We're in the Fraser Performance Studio at WGBH Boston, where we'll also hear teenagers play the music of Dvorak, Bartok, and Brahms. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Here's our host, the great concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Where is everybody? No applause? No hoots? No hollers? Well, that's because we're doing this show in the midst of the great 2013 blizzard in Boston. A state of emergency has been declared by the governor, and there's been a total driving ban, so our planned show at Jordan Hall has been moved, thanks to our friends at WGBH and Classical New England, to the Fraser Performance Studio. And while we may not have an audience today, we do have some amazing music for you. In addition to the music Joanne just mentioned, we'll get a taste of a new 12-tone composition from a 14-year-old Malaysian composer and pianist who's now studying in New York. And a haunting song by Ned Roram, performed by a 17-year-old soprano from New Orleans. And in the second half of today's show, we're going to hear about some Boston-area kids who are taking their music beyond the concert hall. They've joined with From the Top's Center for the Development of Arts Leaders to develop projects that have them teaching and performing for an entire year in community locations all across the city. But first, let's hear some music. And to provide it, this is 17-year-old violinist Chelsea Kim from Wellesley, Massachusetts. Chelsea, welcome, and tell everyone what we're going to play to kick off the show.
We'll play Romance in F minor by Antonin Dvorak.
When you're ready, we'll take it from the top.
Chelsea Kim, 17-year-old violinist from Wellesley, Massachusetts, performing The Romance in F Minor by Antonin Dvorak. Chelsea is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Well, we talk about showpieces for the violin, but I think it's extraordinary how it's rather than the usual, you know, storming octaves and things, it's really a showpiece of great range of emotion and color, and you really bring it all to it.
Thank you.
A pleasure playing that with you.
Thank you.
Chelsea, your life has been full of times when music has deepened your relationships with people. Let's talk about your brother. First of all, tell us about him.
My brother, his name is Daniel Kim. He is 22 months apart from me. He's my very best friend in the world. I don't know what I would do without him. What's special about my brother is that he is autistic. And this disorder, what it does to him is that his brain develops at a more slower rate than other brains. So right now he's a 16-year-old, but inside of him is a 3-year-old brain. And also he's not able to talk nor express his emotions freely.
But even with his non-expressivity, music has become really a big part of your life together. How is that so?
What's funny is that whenever I practiced violin, my brother would be always next to me or sitting near me, but I had no idea he was listening to what I was practicing. And until one time I heard him hum a violin concerto I was working on, but not only did he sing it, but he had it whole memorized. And that's very difficult even for normal people.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's such a surprise.
Yeah. And after that, our family was just so astonished by this. So we decided to try to make a relationship with my brother by teaching him songs, and he would memorize them and hum them back to us.
Oh, my gosh. So when you went to boarding school, what happened?
3 years ago, I was admitted to Phillips Exeter Academy, which is a boarding school in New Hampshire. And that was the first time I was away from my family, especially my brother, for a very long time. About a week after my arrival, I called home. I called Daniel and I said hi, and we exchanged songs like we always do. We used to sing to each other as like our playing method. So we sang a few songs, and then I started to cry because I was so overwhelmed with emotions and I really missed him a lot. And suddenly from the other line of the telephone, I heard humming. And he was humming the song of song Edelweiss from the movie Sound of Music, which is his favorite song. But not only was it humming, it was not just the tune, but inside that simple tune, I heard all kinds of emotions like love and longing, sorrow, sadness, all probably what he was feeling and what had been locked inside of him for all these years. And I must say, I think it's music and love that really brought my brother back to who he is, and he's able to express his emotions now.
Edelweiss is certainly probably the most heartbreaking song I can even imagine, and that he just pulled that out, obviously, is such a great emotional communication and extension.
You know, they say music is a universal language, and I knew that was true, but didn't realize the power of it until that day when it showed me that it can even reach a unreachable world like autism.
It sounds to me like he's taught you about expression in music as much as you've brought him into our world. And my gosh, I think Daniel's work has paid off beautifully with your performance today, Chelsea.
Thank you so much.
It was
so
an
much.
Extraordinary privilege playing with you.
Thank you
for being with us. Chelsea Kim, 17-year-old violinist attending Phillips Exeter Academy in Exeter, New Hampshire, and studying violin with Donald Weilerstein at the New England Conservatory.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Emmanuel Ax is one of America's most beloved pianists and a good friend. I spoke with him earlier this week. Like the young pianist we're about to meet, Manny, you moved to this country as a boy. What sorts of things do you remember about moving to North America? I mean, I guess to Winnipeg initially.
Well, the two most exciting things on the first trip were the fact that the plane we were on from Warsaw stopped in Paris, and I had my first French fries ever. That was an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in love with French fries, of course.
So many kids on our show love your recordings or have seen you play and have been greatly inspired by you, Manny. When you were young, who inspired you? You spent a lot of time, you know, haunting Carnegie Hall, and it was really sort of your second home, really. What are the real standout performances for you?
Well, I guess for any young pianist coming from Poland, the first sort of huge figure was always Arthur Rubinstein. Mm-hmm. But I think I learned so much from every great pianist that I heard. And what would happen, you'd hear him that evening, and the next morning you'd go to the practice room and try to imitate what you heard. So, you know, I would hear Richter on a Tuesday night, and the next morning I'd sit there trying to do what he did. And then 5 days later I'd hear Emil Gilels, mm-hmm. and try and imitate him and imitate Horowitz, imitate all these models. And eventually, of course, you realize that not only are you incapable of imitating these people because they're all too good, but also you don't really want to or can't because you're just a different person.
Mm-hmm. Manny, now things have come full circle and you're teaching where you yourself spent so much time as a youth at Juilliard. How would you say the piano world has changed since then?
I would say that the level of pianistic talent now is greater than I've ever seen in my life. There are pieces, Liszt etudes and the Brahms Paganini variations and the Rachmaninoff Third Concerto, things like that, that were only played by a few people in my time. Mm-hmm. And now it seems that everyone's able to do it.
Yeah.
So I think we're living in a golden age of piano playing.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a fabulous time, and I hope people are enjoying themselves as they're doing it. A lot of them sound like they are.
Yeah.
You have a great career in radio ahead of you, young man.
Yeah, that's what people say when they see my face. Hey, Chris,
brilliant.
It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Likewise, Manny. Will you now do us the honor of introducing our next guest?
It's my pleasure. From my hometown, New York City, please welcome 14-year-old pianist Tengku Erfan.
Kind of nice being introduced by a legendary pianist, isn't it, Erfan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really grateful and honored to be introduced by somebody of huge caliber, because I mean, like, I remember when I was 10, I was watching him playing, and the emotional thing about it is because it was my first piano recital ever that I watched, and like, this is a dream for me.
How appropriate. Well, one legend deserves another. You can hear my complete conversation with pianist Emmanuel Ax at our website, fromthetop.org. Erfan, you're from Malaysia, now studying at the Juilliard School's pre-college division in New York, but you're studying both piano and composition. We're going to actually hear an excerpt from one of your own pieces in a moment, but first, we want to feature you as pianist. Will you please tell everyone what you're going to perform?
I'm going to perform Franz Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody No. 11 in A minor.
Thank you.
Tengku Erfan, 14-year-old pianist from Malaysia, now studying at the Juilliard Pre-College Division in New York. Tengku, that was so commanding and idiomatic. I imagine Malaysia must be the Hungary of Asia from that performance. Today, we're coming to you all from the Fraser Performance Studio at WGBH in Boston because the blizzard of 2013 is raging outside, and we've moved our show from New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall. Erfan, here you are with this burgeoning musical gift, but tell us about the exciting first competition you ever won.
Yeah, this first competition happened when I was 9 years old. I'm in third grade. It's actually a SpongeBob SquarePants competition, which is, of course, a cartoon that kids really love. And actually, this competition is daily before. And then the thing about it is that it's a daily competition. And then they have the question of the day, like what cereal does SpongeBob eat during that day? And then you have to find the answer by watching the episode. Once you know the answer, you have to immediately call because you have to be the first 10 callers to receive a prize, which is a SpongeBob Monopoly.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's really a prestigious competition.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we have Van Cliburn, but I mean, this is really
I think even better. I think absolutely the SpongeBob, yes. No competition will ever match that, I'm sure. Only a few years later, you were studying both piano and composition at Juilliard. But at the time you applied, you didn't think you were going to get in? What gave you doubts?
Well, I mean, like, first of all, I see, like, Juilliard is, I mean, is a great place. I mean, there are a lot of really talented and gifted children. So, like, I was nervous that I thought I wouldn't get in. But, I mean, I'm really grateful to be part of the Juilliard.
Oh, I'm sure you're at the top of your class, Erfan. And you have some great teachers, too. Veda Kaplinsky on piano, and your composition teacher is Ira Taxon. And you're going to give us a sample now of something you wrote for the piano. What is it from?
It's called 12-tone variations.
Well, gosh, you don't hear many 14-year-olds writing serial music these days. How did you come to warm to 12-tone technique?
Well, I was listening to late romantic music, such as the music of Mahler and such, and I was wondering what comes next. And then I heard, like, there's 12-tone music by Schoenberg, and then that struck me because it's a scale where you have 12 pitches and they have equal importance. Where the thing that's fun is that you can reverse it, you can inverse retrogrades.
That's right. Mirror images of those tone rows, hexachords, all of those wonderful things. Well, gosh, so let's hear an excerpt.
Sure.
Heard a little bit of Tengku Erfan's own composition. That was from his 12-tone variations. Erfan, you make a very convincing case for the 12-tone technique, not only as a as a composer, but gosh, if any of you young pianists or professionals ever need a good reason to give up the piano altogether, you can go see the YouTube clip that we first fell in love with Irfan's playing, his traversal of Elliot Carter's virtuosic, demonic piece, Catenaire. That's actually up on our website, fromthetop.org. So it looks like you've got a great future as a composer and pianist, and we look forward to hearing much more from you, Irfan. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Tengku Irfan, 14-year-old pianist from Malaysia, now studying in New York. Standing next to me now is our next young performer, a 17-year-old soprano named Tatum Robertson. Tatum, you're studying here in Massachusetts at the Walnut Hill School for the Arts, but tell everyone where home is for you.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yes, indeed. We'll talk about your wonderful Louisiana family in a moment, but first, give us an introduction to the piece you're going to sing.
I will sing The Lordly Hudson by Ned Roram, which expresses a deep love for your home, and it is a dialogue between a passenger and a driver.
Taxi driver, very good. The text for this exquisite song is by Paul Goodman. Tatum Robertson, 17-year-old soprano from New Orleans, singing The Lordly Hudson by Ned Roram. Tatum is another one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Tatum, I don't even remember the last time we had a Ned Roram piece on our program, and gosh, what an under-acknowledged American master, and what a masterly performance you gave of that. It was a real pleasure doing that with you. The music you have on your iPod came up several times when we were speaking before the show, so I asked you to bring it to the studio so we could check out your library and talk about what we hear. So give it a shake, won't you? Ah, seriously old school and very high-end R&B there with Earth, Wind, and Fire. But actually, that's the kind of music you started singing, yes?
Yes. When I was about 12 is when I kept on telling my parents that I wanted to be an R&B singer. And I was actually studying vocal performance more so with a producer who works with hip-hop artists and R&B singers. So that's the track that I thought I was heading on. Or I was trying to become an R&B singer.
How did they feel about your R&B plans as a youngster in elementary school, your parents?
Well, my parents encouraged me to do whatever I want or whatever makes me happy. But my mom specifically would always tell me to slow down. She was a little worried that I wasn't having any fun.
Oh, gosh. Okay, another shake. Let's have it.
Oh,
tell everybody what that is and what significance it has in your musical life.
That is Cecilia Bartoli singing Caro Mio Ben, which was the first classical piece that I learned to sing.
Gosh, so not exactly Earth, Wind, and Fire. So what made you make the switch?
Well, what happened was the producer that I used to work with, he got too busy after he won his Grammy, so he wasn't in New Orleans anymore. And a family friend recommended my parents to a voice teacher named Dr. Valerie Francis, where I learned classical training.
So I guess she was preparing you to audition for the NOCA, we call it, but the New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts. You were there for how many years?
I was there for 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year in high school.
Great. All right, one last shake. Voice sounds awfully familiar.
Yes, that's me singing Give Me Jesus, my favorite spiritual.
Gosh, and was that always a dream of yours to sing this song?
Yes, definitely. I always dreamed of singing the piece, but I think what's challenging about the piece to create emotionally what the slaves were singing about is that there's a huge dynamic contrast in a hard register of the voice, and I wanted to wait until I felt like I could really fulfill it, and thankfully my teacher, Miss Angela Gooch, helped me to achieve that.
You had a good role model, too. Also, Jessie Norman, I know,
yes,
is a good favorite of yours.
Yes, I watched her sing that all the time.
My gosh, and the way you sing that is right in the pocket, not operatic, not absolutely, you know, colloquial. I mean, just fantastic.
Thank
balance
you.
There of the style. Gorgeous hearing that. And gosh, the comfort and assurance with which you present yourself really radiates to all of us. Thank you so much, Tatum.
Thank you.
It's been a great pleasure and honor playing with you and being with you. Best of luck. Tatum Robertson, 17-year-old soprano from New Orleans, Louisiana.
If you love hearing Christopher O'Reilly perform on our show, you've got to see him live in concert. His virtuosity and infectious passion have won him audiences worldwide. You can check out his tour schedule and pick up his CDs at ChristopherO'Reilly.com.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from U.S. Trust, believing that the arts have a worth all their own in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR. From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. Coming up, three talented teens from the Boston area perform the finale from the Piano Trio No. 2 by Johannes Brahms. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. Today's show is made possible with support from the ASCAP Foundation. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. We're doing a studio show today because the Boston Blizzard of 2013 has forced us to move our planned show at Jordan Hall to the Fraser Performance Studio here at WGBH. I mentioned earlier in the program that we'd be celebrating some Boston kids who are giving back to their communities through music. Here is one of them from Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. Meet Joo-hyun Lee. Joo-hyun, we'll hear about the cool stuff you're doing in a Boston public school in a moment, but first, let's hear you play. Would you please introduce the piece we'll be performing together?
We'll be playing Bartok's Romanian Folk Dances.
Thank you.
Joo-hyun Lee, 17-year-old cellist from Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, performing Romanian dances by Béla Bartók. My gosh, with Liszt and Bartók, the air is suffused with such idiomatic playing and such great storytelling you do with those Romanian dances. Love those pieces, and thank you for playing them so beautifully. Joo-hyun, you've joined with From the Top's Center for the Development of Arts Leaders to plan and execute a year-long program of community service. The kids in the program work in teams to serve at various locations around the city, some kids working with cancer patients, others with seniors, some kids working in schools, like you, Joo-hyun. We've asked you to tell us more.
So, hi, Joo-hyun Lee here.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Greta.
I'm Juri.
I'm Chris.
And we go every Wednesday to the Conservatory Lab Charter School.
You know, it's in the middle of a city, in the middle of Brighton.
It's like kind of an old building.
Through every wall, there's someone playing some other piece of music.
Energy bouncing and ricocheting off the walls.
Every kid plays an instrument and sings, and they have, like, really serious music instruction every day. But they don't have much chamber music, so that's what we've come to teach them. How about we try for 44, and everybody really try to breathe on the third beat of 45. You guys all have that rest, right? For everybody on my team, I know it's been a huge learning experience. Usually, it goes pretty smoothly, and I think we're getting a lot done. But, oh my gosh, learning to teach.
Oh, okay, gosh. Let's stop right there. Okay, we gotta be the same stream. We gotta keep moving along together, right? We can have two streams flowing against each other.
I was really nervous because I had no idea what we're gonna do.
Different kids learn in different ways,
and it's kind of hard to just go with whatever's happening, you know, and to just kind of improvise and not get so nervous.
One, two, three, four.
There have definitely been times where it's been, like, awkward, and we just don't know what we're going to do next with the kids. I think the kids have probably noticed.
I could tell that they were trying their best, but it was really funny.
So they had written everything out and color-coded it?
They didn't know who was going to say what.
Wait, no, you're supposed to go next. Wait, no, I'm supposed to say this.
They, like, had everything planned out, but none of the things that they planned actually happened.
I have to say, we do prepare. We have these planning sessions over the weekend ahead of time. And we also have Kathleen Hara. She's this teacher at the school, and she's there to teach us how to teach. She always has really great things to say.
I still really want to see you guys play your instrument to demonstrate what you're trying to say to them, right? Do four measures, but play it so they see it. And then ask them, what did you hear me do? What did you see me do? Specific, and call on them by name.
52, we're going to crescendo, right?
Yes.
Okay. For me, it's been really incredible to see the kids improve.
It feels like we're all one thing together, and there's just a tiny age gap. And it's not that they're teaching and we're the students, it's that we're like we're all together.
They got what we were thinking.
You chill out because you know that they can connect with you.
I've always heard people say that young people teaching other young people, like kids, is a really good thing. I know Ms. Hara, our mentor, is a huge believer in it.
The beauty of having high schoolers come in and teach our students is that they're so emotionally involved in what they do. And when they sit down with our students, there's a whole different level of just awe and respect for what they do. They identify with these kids.
Through this learning experience, I've come to realize the responsibility of a teacher. And it's something that makes me uneasy because I start asking myself, am I teaching them right? Am I doing this properly? Are the kids really learning from me? And when I think about how challenging it's been for me, I really come to appreciate my teachers and realize how amazing they are and, I don't know, how much I really respect and appreciate them for what they do.
I'm impressed because they take every single Wednesday to come to this school and to work with us, and I think they're really caring for us.
So, Joo-hyun, we've just heard various points of view on what's happening at the Conservatory Lab Charter School there, but you've said the teamwork element of the project is almost the best part. How is it? Is it different from playing in a string quartet or orchestra?
Yeah, I mean, we've all had experience in working as a team, as in whether it's on school projects or whether it's an orchestra or string quartets. But the beauty of this program, of this experience, is that we get to work towards something more than just performing. And that's what makes it really special.
Well, you've touched these children's lives and continue to do so, and we applaud your efforts and also your extraordinary cello playing. Great pleasure playing with you.
Thank you,
Ju-hyun. Ju-hyun Lee, 17-year-old cellist from nearby Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts.
To learn more about our education and outreach programs, go to fromthetop.org. Over the last 5 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded well over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Now we have a wonderful way of ending our show today, the rambunctious final movement of Brahms's C major piano trio. And to play it, we have three rambunctious teenagers from the Boston area, all of them studying at the New England Conservatory Preparatory School. They call themselves the Back Bay Trio. This is Kate Arndt. Kate is 15 and plays the violin. Next to Kate is Zlatimir Fung, 13 years old. Zlatimir is the cellist of the trio. Last but definitely not least, our pianist is Daniel Kim. He's 16 years old. These guys are coached by Trio Cleonice. Zlatimir and Daniel have been on our show before, and Kate and Daniel are also participating in the year-long arts leadership program that Ju-hyun just talked about. Kate, where are you doing your work?
I work with a group of 13 first graders at the Chittick Elementary School, and we work with them in introducing them to music, and we've done that through recorders and various songs like Hot Cross Buns and stuff like that.
So. And Daniel, where are you?
I'm at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston.
And so what do you do there? Are you teaching music?
It's not so much teaching, but we're really going there to perform, to use music to help alleviate the stress that the patients and the people in the lobby are feeling while they're going through this really difficult time. But we also do other activities like drum circles and other integrative therapies using music. It's a lot of fun.
And I understand the sort of center where you play is sort of an atrium, you know, three stories high,
yeah.
So everybody can hear you.
Yeah, it's really open to anyone. So everyone gets the benefits of the music, which is really great.
Great work, both of you. Now, this movement of Brahms you're about to play has a wonderful energy to it. But Daniel, you were saying that there are some issues pulling that off.
Well, it's a little hard for us as performers, because you have to have this quality of energy throughout the whole piece, because even in like the soft sections, it has this driving pulse that you have to keep, and that's really just a really primary aspect of it.
Well, let's hear this performance full of energy. While you guys get set, I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week when the snow will be plowed here in Boston and we'll be able to fly off to our next show. Again, this is the finale, marked Allegro Giocoso from the Brahms Second Piano Trio in C major. And now, Back Bay Trio, please take it from the top. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music producer Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Antonio Oliart Ross. Thanks to Alan McClellan and Benjamin K. Rowe. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. From the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.
Thanks for downloading this week's From the Top podcast. If you liked what you heard, head over to our website, fromthetop.org, where you can listen to every show in its entirety. I'm Christopher O'Reilly. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.